going to play the part of the...
Not a minute.
What are you... What?
Excuse me, I got something to say to you.
I don't understand. What is all this? Who are you?
My name is Sampson Wallington.
Sampson Wallington?
Right, me. I'm Jimmy Slutter.
You're Jimmy Wallington's brother? Well, what are you doing here? Where's Jimmy?
He shouldn't come here, though. He sent me to take his place.
Well, he couldn't come, so he sent... Wait a minute. Jimmy knows he's got to be here on time. We got to play a sketch. What is this?
Well, Jimmy's too busy. He's waiting on another program. He's reporting the news.
Oh, I see. He's reporting the news. Well, what am I going to do? I need him right now.
Well, what's the matter with me?
That's what I've been trying to figure out. What is this? Now, what is this in the back here with two pair of pants? What is that? What is... What's the idea of a two pair of pants? Oh, you bought a two pair of pants. All right, look at... Only when you talk. Well, that's good. I wasn't saying that. Well, what is it that makes you talk that way?
When you see, it's my adenoid.
Your adenoid? You just had them out?
No, I had them new ones put in.
Oh, you had new ones for, I see. What for? What did you have new ones put in for?
Well, my folk can afford it. They're very rich.
Oh, they're rich. So you had... Oh, that's good. That's good. Your folks are... Listen.
Oh, no, you always have a lot of trouble with him. Had to fight you 100 miles.
Oh, you do. I see. That's good. Am I going to have trouble with you? Please go. Look, I've got to do a sketch. Will you go and bring back Jimmy and leave yourself there?
Listen, anything Jimmy can do, I can do.
Well, there's one thing you do even better than Jimmy.
What that?
Aggravate me.
No, you aggravate me, fight.
Uh-huh, I see. That's good. Now, look, why must such things happen to me? Look, why don't you go away? I'm calm now. See, look, I'm controlling myself, you see?
Why can't you give a son of a chance? I'm studying to be an
Tell me, where are you studying?
I get the manner.
Where?
Get the manner. Get the manner. What's the matter with it, John? Do you understand English?
Yeah, do you speak it? Yeah. Do you speak it?
Why do you think you're talking to Rubinoff?
Listen, what did you do before you went into the elocution business?
Oh, I used to be a train announcer.
Oh, a train announcer. I bet you were good at that.
I used to wait in the Grand Central Station.
Level. You never announced the trains on the lower level, huh?
Nah, that for the riprap.
That's for the riprap. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
You can hear me call out the same train.
Yeah.
Play the set, mine, smart and small. Bought the met, and McMill, set the tune. Man, the tune, and Snitten-o.
What was the last one?
Snitten-o.
Snitten-o? Snitten-o, where's that?
Oh, I used to put that in the pool of people.
Oh, well, I'm afraid you don't talk plainly enough, Sam.
Well, if I can sing, I can make everything clear.
If you sing, you can make it clear?
That's right. Look, I'll show you.
Go ahead.
Oh, Snay, you didn't know. No. Oh, Snay, you didn't know.
Yeah, that's much clearer. Yes. Wait, you got me doing it now. Look. All right, as long as Jimmy isn't here, I'll let you play a part. You play the heroine.
That's a joke.
No, you play that part. Yeah, that's all right. Look. This is a play of the Far East, and the story is about a certain British admiral, Hugh Glendale. I play the part of you.
You play the part of me?
No. I play the part of you.
Well, that's what I said. You play the part of me.
No, I don't play the part of you. I play the part of you.
You don't play the part of me. You play the part of me. What's the matter? You're going nuts?
No. Listen, Samson, in this play, I am you.
Well, who am I?
You are you. But I am Hugh.
Don't get me sore now. What is my name in the play?
Yes.
My name is... Yes.
No. What is your name?
Sam Wallington.
No. What is your name in the play?
That's what I'm trying to find. Look,
I am Hugh, and you are what?
Well, who is who? Who is the Chinese general? Who is the Chinese general?
That's right. Who is the Chinese general?
How should I know it? Your play, not mine.
Look, can't you understand? It's all very clear. I am Hugh. What is your name? And who is the Chinese general?
Well, who is he?
Look at not who is he. Who is he? Who? Look at.
Listen, I'll punch you right in the nose. What? Tell me what the name is in the play. What's the matter with you?
Listen, your name in the play is what? W-A-T-T. What?
Oh, what you think? No. Well, what is my fight name?
No. What is your last name?
Are you going to start it all over again? Litton, I know what is my last name, but what is my fight name?
How can it be your first name if it's your last name? Your first name is So.
So what? That's right.
Yes, that's what I mean. I said, so what?
Well, if you don't care, I know.
Well, listen, Sam. What is your last name and so is your first?
What is my last name and so is my first? My name is what, Juan?
No, let's forget the whole thing. Look at Sam. You drive me to my grave.
You didn't expect to walk in, did you?
Well, look, listen.
If you don't get out of here, I'll give you such a kick that every time you sit down, you leave a footprint. You hear me, Sam?
Oh, yeah, you just...
I'm getting it. Where is Jimmy?
I told you he'd be caught in a nude in the other snooty.
I see. He sent you here. Well, wait. I'll get him on the phone. Wait a minute. So he's going to be a reporter, eh? Well, I'll give him some news.
Hello?
Hello. Is this you, Jimmy?
Yes. Who is this?
This is Eddie. Eddie Cantor. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I hear you're going to be a reporter.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, here's an item for your paper. Jack Pearl is going on the Royal Gelatin Program.
Winchell printed that 2 weeks ago. You'll have to be faster than that.
Oh, it's not fast enough, eh? Well, get this. Your brother Sam got shot.
When did it happen?
Listen. I've been searching for you, looking for you night and day. Now you're in my clutches, and you'll never get away. My proud beauty, now that you are near, it's my duty to tell you, my dear, you're in me power. Ha, 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 ha. What you gonna do now? It's up to you now to give your love to me. You're in me power. Ha, 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 ha. I don't want your money. I want your honey. I'll never set you free. Lips so close to mine, must I beg you for a kiss? There now, ain't that divine? Why must I struggle like this? You're in me power. Ah, 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 ah. I'm a bold bad villain, but you're unwilling to give your love to me. You're in me power. Ah, 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 ah. Though the others move you, I still pursue you, and I will never part. You're in my heart. So don't cut no capers. I hold the papers, the mortgage on your heart. Got you bound around with arms, can't escape my pretty maid. I won't release your charm until the ransom is paid. You're in my heart. I'm a desperado, who'll be your shadow. So give your love to me. You're in the power. You're in the power. Ha, 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 ha.
Eddie, what are you doing with that wagon full of hardware there?
The latest way to carry on a conversation.
What do you mean?
Well, didn't you read about the great professor of English at Oxford University?
No.
He says that the only way to talk English is to mean exactly what you say.
Oh, you mean you have to take all the English expressions
literally? I'm so sure because you send your brother here, so I'm soaping up my face.
But why?
Well, you see, I'm working myself into a lather. Now, here, Jimmy, for instance, take this spare rib here.
What for?
Well, you see, I got a bone to pick with you. So, you know, it's all in a conversation.
Yeah, but tell me, Eddie, why are you putting those boys' knickers in front of your face?
Well, you see, because when I get excited, my breath comes in short pants. It's all that kind of talk.
You mean to say that you're going to carry out every expression in the language?
Yes, every expression in the language. That's what the professor says. Of course, I had a little trouble this morning. One expression stuck me.
What is that?
My wife told me to go lay an egg. You can't, you know, those things. You can't, Jimmy. But, oh, Jimmy, is that professor making trouble for me?
Still, Eddie, you know, there are a lot of expressions that may sound silly, but there's some truth in them.
How do you mean?
You know, like a fool and his money are soon parted.
You think that's true, Jimmy? A fool and his money are soon parted? I'll show you how wrong it is. Lend me $10.
What?
You see, you can't part a fool from his money. You can't do that. I'll show you any expression you mention is wrong. Here, take this one, tender as a woman's heart.
Huh? Oh, you're wrong there. That's where I've got you.
How do you mean?
Well, that expression's absolutely true. I'll tell you what you do, Eddie. You're coming out to my house for dinner,
yep.
See? And you'll have a chance to see that tender as a woman's heart is really the truth.
Okay, I'm willing to be shown. Let's go.
All right, Eddie, here we are at the house.
Well, we certainly got here fast. Well, that's radio for you.
What do you want, anyway?
It's me, honey. Look whom I brought for dinner.
Hello, Mrs. Wallington.
Hello yourself.
Well, maybe Jimmy didn't tell you I was coming to dinner.
Oh, yes, he did. We argued about it all day long.
Tender as a woman's heart, eh?
What's that? Say, don't you try any smart cracks on me, Mr. Cantor.
But, honey, you know, Eddie is...
Oh, your big boot?
Hey, listen. Now, listen, here. We arranged to have dinner, and I thought...
Well, if you want dinner, go and buy food. Heaven knows I can't run the house on the money you give me, let alone feed every Tom, Dick, and Harry you bring around. Good night.
Well, I've got an idea.
Yeah, what's your idea, Jimmy?
I've got a good idea. I'll buy some steak. Eddie, you'll love that steak.
Is the steak good?
Good.
Yeah, I'll take manhole covers. You see, Jimmy, expression I'll is true. People say, why don't you use common horse sense? I know the president of a railroad was criticized that if he had used common horse sense, bankruptcy.
Well, maybe it's true.
All right. You make believe I'm the president of the road. You go ahead. You be on the board of directors. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Mr. President, we must raise $5 million to meet our payments or this road will be bankrupt. You being a man who uses horse sense, what do you say? Thank you, Mr. President. As you know, the members of this board have been very faithful and loyal workers. Isn't that so, Mr. President? Right you are. And after 25 years of faithful service, we would like to show our appreciation. What shall we give them?
See, there's common horse sense for you, Jimmy. Now you can see how easy it is to go wrong with the entire English language.
Yeah, the way you explain it, it's as easy as taking candy from a baby.
What are you saying? You mean as easy as taking candy from a baby? Go away.
Well, there's one time, you know, the expression happens to
say. Oh, yeah? Did you ever try taking candy from a baby?
No, I can't say that I have, but I can't imagine there's anything very hard about it.
Well, maybe you're right. My little nephew is here tonight, and I'll try it. Come here, Wilbur. Wilbur, come in. Come in, honey.
Hello,
Mr. Dacey. Don't be bashful, Wilbur. That's a boy.
Hello,
Wilbur. Isn't he big for his age? Now, look, Wilbur, Uncle Eddie wants you to sit on his lap. I'll tell you a nice story.
I'd rather go home.
Now, don't be afraid. Uncle Eddie won't hurt you. Nice, baby. Nice, baby. Now, Wilbur, that's a nice lollipop you have.
Yeah.
Let Uncle Eddie look at it. Now. I won't touch it. I just want to look at it. All right. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a nice gold watch for the lollipop. Yes? You want to go watch?
All right.
Here. Yeah. You see, Jimmy, I got them all ready. First, I get the lollipop, then I get the watch back. Here, baby, here's the watch.
Can I take that?
Yes. Wait a minute, you naughty boy. You broke my watch. Well, what are you laughing about now? Now, give me the lollipop. You bad boy, you bit me. Oh, what am I going to do with this, kid? I got an idea. Wait a minute. I'll disguise myself as a baby. You'll think I'm his pal. Here, Jimmy. Jimmy, give me that baby's bonnet. That's right. Give me the baby's bonnet and the lollipop. Wait a minute. Give me the lollipop. Give me the lollipop. You think I'll fool him, Jimmy?
Well, then try, Eddie.
Hello? My mama bought me a lollipop, too. I'll give you a taste of my lollipop, and you give me a taste of yours.
No.
I trade you lollipop.
All right. Now I got him, Jimmy. Wait a minute. Here, Wilbur, give my lollipop. Now give me yours.
I don't want it.
Well, then give me back mine.
I don't want it.
What do you mean you don't want it? Here's my lollipop. You hear? I want it back. Give me back. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's it. Wait a minute. Jimmy, grab him in the back. Oh, you kicked me. Bit my finger.
What am I going to do? Wait a minute.
Listen, Wilbur. I'll tell you. I'll talk to you as man to man. How much do you want for your lollipop?
$100 rabbits in my dollars.
Listen, I'll give you my house in Great Neck.
No.
I'll retire for life.
No.
I got it. I'll give you some
rabbits,
and you can raise them.
Raise rabbits?
Yes. All right. How many? Well, that's up to the rabbits.
You can talk about your love affair. Here's one I must tell to you. All night long they sit upon the stairs. He holds her close and starts to coo. My little Margie, I'm always thinking of you, Margie. Tell the world I love you, don't forget your promise to me. I have bought a home and ring and everything for Margie. You've been my inspiration, days are never blue. I am so lonely, set and done. There is really only one for Margie. Margie, it's you.
Bucklers and at least 24 neckties.
Sure. Well, Jimmy, aren't you going to the Chase and Sanborn party after the broadcast?
Well, sure I am. Well, what has that got to do with you wearing all your Christmas gifts?
Well, I'm doing it for Chase and Sanborn. They asked for it. Here. See? Read the invitation to the party. We request your presence. You see? That's what I got for you see? You know, Jimmy, after looking over some of those Christmas presents, I can see what they meant by the old saying, it's better to give than to receive. I gave my wife a new fur coat for the winter, so she gave me something to keep away the cold, too.
What?
A pair of long underwear. Of course, you know, I like the present I got from you and Rubinoff.
Yes.
A pair of ice skates. That was very nice, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Ruby and I chipped in 50 cents apiece for them.
Cheap skates. Well.
What do you...
But the worst part of Christmas was the way they got the presents mixed up. Wasn't that terrible? One store sent my wife a plug of chewing tobacco and the janitor two bottles of perfume. Oh.
Why didn't you do what I did? The department store clerk mixed up my presents,
yeah.
So I went down to the store and they fired him on the spot.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm surprised at you. You think every time a customer makes a complaint, they fire the clerk?
Well, now, listen, Eddie, I saw them fire him with my own eyes.
Don't be silly. First of all, it wouldn't be fair for the clerk. And secondly, picture yourself as the head of a department store firing everybody the minute there's a complaint.
Well, I know, but still, you know the slogan, the customer's always right.
Yeah, but I'll show you how it really works. There's one fellow who is specially hired to be the goat, and they keep firing him all day. Do you know that?
Go on.
Yes, look. Look, pretend, Jimmy, you're the head of the complaint department,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be the fellow who impersonates everybody the customers complain about.
I see. I'm the guy who fires you all the time.
That's right, and I stand behind the screen, and whenever a customer complains, I disguise myself as the person he's complaining about. Then I come in and take the blame, understand?
I'm beginning to get it.
All right.
Yep. Quick, how are you there, Eddie? Your customer's coming.
Okay, quick.
Come in.
Mr. Wellington, I have a complaint to make. Your salesman in the antique department positively deceived me. He's a Scotchman with a red tam o' shanter.
A Scotchman with a red tam o' shanter. That must be McGregor Cantor.
Mm-hmm.
Ring for him at once. Don't worry, I'll fix him.
Oh, Mr. Wellington, you sent for me. What's it about?
McGregor, this man says that you deceived him. He complains about the antiques you sold him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I ordered a Louis XIV bed, and when I came home, I found twin beds.
Well, we were a little short of Louis XIV, so I sent him two Louis VII.
Yes, two Louis VII, eh? And another thing. When my wife came to complain to you, you called her an old sow.
I couldn't have called her a sow because I pronounce it sow. If I called her a cow, I would pronounce it cow.
There you are. You called my wife a cow now.
I did not call your wife a cow, no.
You hear that, Mr. Wellington? What are you going to do about this man?
All right, so I'm fired. Goodbye, Mr. Antique Collector.
How do you know I'm an antique collector?
I knew it the moment I saw your wife.
Mr. Wellington, this man takes it too lightly. I don't believe you really fired him. I'll never come into this place again. Good day.
Good day.
Listen here, Cantor. When I fire you, you shouldn't act so happy about it. Try to look sad so the customer will really think you lost your job.
We lose a job. In my family, we never lose jobs. My uncle kept the job for 30 years, Jimmy.
Well, why did he leave?
He did. He was pardoned.
Cantor, listen. The next time I fire you, put more feeling into it.
Quick, get out. Here comes another complaint.
Okay, okay, Jimmy. Mr. Ellington, I have a complaint to make.
Yes, sir.
Your salesman in the linen department was supposedly insulting.
Oh, really? Do you remember his name?
Why, no, but he was a professor-like looking young man with thick glasses.
A professorial-looking young man with thick glasses. Oh, that must be Darwin Cantor. I'll call him. Leave him to me, madam.
Greetings, Mr. Wallington. Did you call me?
Yes, Darwin. This lady says that you were rude to her.
You interrupt me, Foster.
Now, don't pretend. When I came in, I asked you whether you thought it would rain. And you said, little dogs it would and little dogs it won't.
Oh, no, madam. I said pups it will and pups it won't. That's all.
Indeed. Well, my little Bill tore his pants. I wanted to mend him. And where did you send him?
Oh, your little boy Bill's pants were torn? Come on, Darwin, where did you send him?
Why, I sent him to the window marked Bill's Receded. If I did anything wrong, madam, I'm terribly, terribly sorry.
All right, all right. Now, while I'm here, I'll give you an order, young man.
Mm-hmm.
I want 2 dozen dotted denim drying dish rags.
With pleasure, madam. 2 dizzle ditto dish'em dying dash rigs?
No, no. I want 2 dozen dotted denim drying dish rags.
That's what I said. 2 dizzle daddle doonum dragging gindig.
Not dragging gindig. Don't you understand? I want dressing rig dags.
Just a moment, madam. You don't mean dressing rig dags. You mean dressing rang ding.
Now, let me handle this, Wallington. I know exactly what the lady wants. 2 dizzle daddle doonum shrine drag legs.
Not at all. I want 3 dozen jungle drabbles and
for heaven's sake, lady, why don't you get a mop?
Very rude, sir.
Darwin, you're fired.
Please don't fire me. I have a poor withered widow to support. I mean a widowed mother. A widowed mother.
You must go.
Oh, have pity on me, sir. Think of my lonely grandmother and my poor sick sister.
Oh, the poor thing. Oh, don't fire him, Mr. Wallington.
I have no choice. He can't stay.
Oh, well, if you're such a brute as to fire that man, I'll never come into this store again.
There you go, Cannon. You see what happened that time, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
You lost another customer for me. Now, next time, don't act so
sad.
What,
you told me to, didn't you? Did you tell me to act sad?
No, but you broke the customer's heart.
Yeah.
You should act a little fresh, as if you deserve to be fired.
All right, next time I'll be fresh. Quick, get in there. Hurry up, there's no complaint coming.
All right. Mr. Wallington.
Yes.
I have a complaint against one of your sales ladies in the perfume department.
Well, what of my sales ladies?
I don't know her name, but she's a blonde-haired woman.
Oh, you mean Estelle Cantor. I'll call her at once. We always like to satisfy our customers.
Did you want me, Mr. Wallington?
Yes, I did, Miss Cantor. This lady says you've been very rude to her.
You were, young woman. You gave me a cosmetic that would ruin my complexion.
Well, what of it?
What of it? My face is my fortune.
Well, I bet you don't have to pay any income tax on it.
You see how impertinent she is.
Oh, pull down your hat. Here comes the woodpecker.
How dare you? Mr. Wallington, are you going to let this woman insult me like that?
I should say not. Miss Cantor, you're fired.
Why? Because I told this old buzzard that she didn't know what perfume to buy?
Oh, why, you may just smell this perfume on my coat. It's Rose Supreme, $5 an ounce.
Yeah, well, smell this on my coat. It's onion soup, 5 cents a bowl.
Miss Cantor, don't get so fresh.
Well, you fired me, and I can be as fresh as I like.
Well, hussy.
Who's you calling a hussy, you old cluck?
See here, Miss Cantor. You can't insult my customers like that. Get out of here at once. You're fired.
Oh, this cruel, cruel world. Heaven help the poor waking girl.
Serves you right. Nobody can offend my customers.
Honest, I didn't mean to call this old witch a cluck, did I, kind lady?
Oh, the nerve. Mr. Wallington, you must throw her out this minute.
Oh, wait, you might as well know all. I'm not Miss Cantor. I'm Mrs. Cantor. I'm a married woman and I'm working here because my husband is out of a job. Oh, my man, I love him so. He will never, never know.
You're married. You're married? You never told me. Were you married secretly?
No, my husband knew about it. Oh, please don't fire me, Mr. Wallington. I'm a mother of 4 children, and I'm going to have...
What? You mean that...
Yes, I'm going to have...
Beautiful, dear.
I'm going to have a hard time finding another job.
Uh, Ladies and gentlemen, about 6 weeks ago, I introduced a little song in this program that's evidently become very popular since then. It's called Alice in Wonderland, and I'd like to sing one chorus for you. Alice in Wonderland, come let me take your hand. You'll see the wonder path, looking through the looking glass, right there before your eyes. I'll show you paradise. So let me take your hand, Alice in Wonderland. This can be bought at all music stores for 30 cents a copy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time in my long association with Chase and Sanborn that I've had the privilege of speaking about my employers and their products. Chase and Sanborn Brewed Coffee is, naturally, the coffee we use in our homes. From the way I've talked about my family on these programs, you are no doubt aware that I like Ida, that's the mistress, and the children. I think there's nothing too good for them. And that's why we use Vita coffee. I don't want to take chances. You know, I'm like a lot of husbands. I very seldom telephone in advance when I'm bringing some of the boys home to dinner. But my wife always manages. Sometimes the dinner is good. Sometimes it's just all right. However, we always finish with Chase and Sanborn coffee. And that satisfies everybody. Appearing before the public for over 20 years, I have learned how important it is to have a good finish. Take a tip from me. Finish all your meals with Chase and Sanborn's Vita coffee. Personally, I am certain that you cannot use it as a shampoo, it won't press your pants, and you cannot clean silverware with it. But it's swell coffee, believe me.
Yes, Doctor, I'll take care of it. Goodbye.
Excuse me, nurse. I'm looking for Eddie Cantor.
Oh, you'll find him in the last room down the hall.
Is there anything wrong with him?
Why, no.
I don't understand. We were supposed to go out together to celebrate New Year's Eve, and suddenly I get a wire to meet him at the hospital.
Hello, hello, Jimmy, hello.
Oh, why, Eddie? What are you doing in that white coat with a stethoscope around your neck?
What do you mean, Jimmy? I'm a doctor. I'm one of the doctors working for the NRH.
The NRH? You mean the NRA,
no? No. The NRH, National Recovery Hospital. This is the place where we treat all kinds of industrial ailments. You know, like speculation eaters, high rent pressure, inflammation of the spandex, and no money.
Dr. Cantor, they just brought in an emergency case of business failure.
Well, send him up to the bankruptcy ward. If he hasn't lost a shirt, open his collar, loosen his credits, and apply an ice bag to his liability. Hello? Hello, yeah? Yes, this is the National Recovery Hospital. All right, right away. Oh, nurse.
Yes, Dr. Cantor.
Send an ambulance right down to the stock exchange with Dr. Margin. 20 men just in the Wall Street pool. Let him inject a little gold solution, and if necessary, use an inflation pump. Here, he might take along a little silver thread to sew up any runs on the stock. You'll find the silver thread among the gold.
All right, Doctor.
See, Eddie, you know, you actually treat all kinds of business ailments, don't you?
Sure, Jimmy. I had a bankruptcy case this morning. He got an injection of thrift serum and settled for 20 cents on the dollar.
Well, how does he feel now?
80% better.
Well, that's fine, Eddie, but, you know, I thought we were going out to celebrate New Year's Eve together.
Listen, Jimmy, we've got an emergency case tonight, and the chief surgeon of the National Recovery Hospital is going to be...
Well, who is the chief surgeon?
Why, Professor Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Roosevelt? Gee, it must be a pretty important patient.
Yes, Mrs. Tarzan.
Mrs. Tarzan? You mean Tarzan?
No, no, what Tarzan? Mrs. Tarzan, Uncle Sam's wife. Stars and Stripes? You know, Jimmy, she is anticipating a blessed event.
No, you really mean it?
Sure, look, Jimmy. Do you see that man walking up and down there, very nervous?
Yes.
Well, can't you see the red striped trousers? Can't you see the white chin whiskers and the high blue hat with the stars? It's Uncle Sam.
Gee, that's right.
Boy, is he nervous. Just like any father. I know, Jimmy. I can appreciate it.
Listen, I don't get this. Uncle Sam is expecting a newcomer? Well, it can't be a boy or a girl. What can it be, a new state?
No, a new year, 1934.
I see. It's the birth of the new year. Say, Eddie, I think Uncle Sam wants to talk to you.
Well, I'll go over to him, Jimmy. How are you? How are you, Uncle?
I'm worried, Doc. I don't think my wife will have the strength to pull through. Don't forget, I've had three pretty sickly children, 1930, 31, and 2.
Yes, but listen, Uncle, in a family as big as yours, you know this is going to be your 157th, there are bound to be a few weak sisters. But 1934 will be a real chip off the old block.
I wish I could share your optimism.
Why not, Uncle Sam? She's got the greatest physician looking after her. I know you and your wife have been through a lot of trouble, but there was always some great doctor who pulled you through. You remember in 1776... when Mrs. America was still a young girl, that was her first child. You never thought she'd survive. But a young physician looked after her, Dr. George Washington. It was his first case, too. But he was a genius.
Yeah, I remember him. He was a great doctor.
And do you remember in 1861, when Mrs. America was probably in the most critical condition of her life, all the professors gave her up. You didn't know what to do. And a tall, lank fellow came out of the West from a small log cabin and volunteered to take the case. You had faith, Uncle Sam. You let him handle it. Everybody said it was a case of saving either the baby or the mother, and he saved both. Do you remember him, Uncle Sam, Dr. Abraham Lincoln?
Yes, yes, I'll never forget him. But what makes you think that this Dr. Roosevelt is as good as they were?
Listen, Uncle, if anybody can accomplish wonders, he can. I've seen him work. He doesn't give much medicine either. He's got that magnetic personality. The minute he walks into a sick room, the patient feels better already.
Thanks, Dr. Cantor. You've made me feel a lot more cheerful.
Oh, Dr. Cantor, you must do something at once. The patient is in very serious condition.
Wait, I'll go and bring the chief. Oh, here he is. Just in time. He's entering the patient's room now.
It's getting nearer and nearer to 12 o'clock. Listen, I hope we're not getting another 1930, 31, 2. She could never live through it. I couldn't either. I don't know what to do.
Uncle Sam, I've never seen you like this before. Get yourself in hand. Come on, buck up. Nurse.
Yes?
Nurse, have you heard anything yet? Any news?
No, doctor.
Good heavens. 12 o'clock. Midnight, and all is quiet.
Don't worry, Uncle. He'll pull us through. I know he'll... Listen! Listen to that, Uncle Sam! Listen, listen! 1934's here! I told you he'd do it, Uncle Sam. Listen.
Yes. Come in, Uncle Sam, and look at your lovely child.
The mother, tell me, how is the mother?
Oh,
Oh, she's fine. And the baby is a bouncing happy New Year if ever there was one.
Well, thank you.
And you make him an interior if you like.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Hey, it must have been a difficult case. I knew how serious the condition was. Mrs. America had suffered so much loss of vitality and strength.
Well, I admit for a moment that I didn't think she'd pull through. She didn't seem to respond to treatment.
I knew it. And I know just what saved her. It was Professor Roosevelt's confidence, his faith and his hope that gave her the strength and courage to carry on.
Dr. Canada, I've just seen the new baby in 1934, and it looks marvelous.
Great, Uncle Sam, let's celebrate. We'll give a party and invite 120 million people to the christening. We'll change the baby's name from Happy New Year to Happy New Deal. This will be the greatest party we ever had. Not a Republican or a Democratic party, but an all-American party.
You're right. My wife and I have nothing more to worry about.
Oh, yes, you have. When this celebration is over, remember, Mr. and Mrs. America, 1934 is your baby. Look after it. Nurse it. Build it up. Make it the strongest, the most wonderful year you've ever had.
Another gala Chasen Sanborn Coffee Hour, directed by Rubinoff and starring Eddie Cantor. The makers of Chasen Sanborn's Dated Coffee were, of course, among the first to sign the President's Reemployment Agreement. James Wallington speaking.
Good night.
Company.